went around one by one and asked and started with the National Audit Department, you know, and we said, trusted advisor, collaborating, being genuine, being responsive, you know, authentic, all of these words, a partner. And then as it went around the room, the message or the responses were quite different.
This episode is brought to you by Green Skies Analytics, an audit analytics service provider that works with internal audit departments that have data analysts and are still frustrated with trying to make analytics actually work, aren't getting the expected ROI, who can't break through the communication barrier between the analysts and the audit team, and those that need experienced direction for an audit analytics strategy and process. Those that feel like they've wasted time and money on trainings, aren't getting the value they want, not prioritizing the highest risk areas for the organizations, or have projects that seemingly never get completed. Do you deal with any of that? If you do, go to the show notes of this episode and click the Green Skies Analytics link, or go to greenskiesanalytics.com to schedule a call and understand how Green Skies Analytics makes analytics actually work for internal audit. Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Audit Podcast. I'm your host, Trent Russell. Today, we have Sanjay Vadlamani on the show. He's a director in internal audit. And this really wasn't even going to be a podcast episode. I just happened to be talking to Sanjay. He told me this story, and I went, pretty good story. Told me another story, and I thought, it's a good story, too. This third story, and I went, all right, let's just stop with the stories, and let's record those at a later date. And so that's what we're going to talk about. So one is, if you recall Dr. Hernan's episode and the book that he recently published, Sanjay had that real-life story that Dr. Hernan speaks to. The other one's just a pretty interesting fraud story, and everybody loves fraud stories, and so I wanted to get that one also. And then the other one is the trust story, is what we refer to it as. And I don't know if you actually do what we talk about in the episode, or if you would do it, or if I would even recommend it. But if nothing else, I think it'd be something, a thought exercise to consider for yourself, if you're an internal audit leader or otherwise, but then also as a group. Think about applying this story. If you said, hey, if we did this in practice, what do you think the response that we would get would be? And so I think it was super interesting. With that, here we go. What is in your either your internet browsing history or your ChatGPT history?
My internet browsing history, I think it's pretty much based on like current events. So it's the EU passing the AI regulation, ESG, and the NIST 2.0 framework. And what's always kind of been on my mind, and I've always been pinging, it's in conducting audits when the internal audit team are fully remote. And how can we be successful?
Got it. Okay. That's interesting. Is there anything from that last piece that you've learned that you could share? Like a hey, quick tip before we jump into this.
It's engagement. Creating engagement from the very beginning of the onboarding process. When the teams are 100% remote and you really don't have that opportunity to connect physically, you really need to be genuine, and it needs to be constant, and it can't always be work related.
Yeah.
And it's a fine balance, but I haven't gotten there.
Okay, perfect. All right. So now to the topics at hand. So when you and I first started talking, for those that don't know, maybe some unnecessary background, we were just kind of hanging out and talking internal audit and all that kind of good stuff. And the more you talked, you just started sharing these stories. And I would go, oh, that's a really good story. That's a really good story. And so 40 minutes in, I said, hey, let's just stop and we should probably just record this as a podcast. And so that's where we are. The listeners probably already know you also have this very soothing voice that it sounds like you read Audible books, you know, like out loud, and people record the voice and use those. So you also just have a good storytelling voice. So with all that said, one of the stories that you had mentioned, so Dr. Hernan was on a few weeks ago, and his latest book is this novel, and it's about an internal audit department that's kind of at risk of being outsourced. And so that you would basically said, yeah, I've seen the real life story of that also. And so with nothing else to preface this with, I'm going to hand it over to you and just have you tell us a story, Sanjay.
And so based off Dr. Herman's book and, you know, using the outsourcing as preface, what came to mind and what always comes to mind is having alignment, providing, you know, always having value, being able to have value, trust. Trust is a two-way street, and listening, you know, open door. All of these are just buzzwords, but they mean a lot. And the moment that any of those erode, it's being able to pivot, being able to be self-aware and understand what the needs are. It might be a new emerging risk, might be an audit, might be that the scope needs to be changed, whatever it might be, or just the auditee's requirements are, they have different objectives at that point. They have another fire drill. It's all these little things matter in the end, and they kind of build up. So communication and all of it could end up at the detriment of the team.
Yeah, and you had this, I know we had someone else on who had the word value that they wrote on their board. And it's every time I talk to them, you can see it on the background. It's the same all caps value in quotes. And a lot of times he'll point to that and just go, basically, what's the value here? What do you? And I feel like you had a similar story about the word trust. Is that right?
Yeah, that's true. So there was a time when the internal audit department was in a board meeting. And before it started, the word trust was on the screen. It was a virtual screen. And I looked at it and didn't understand. I was listening, just watched it. And soon what first was to get everyone's input, went around one by one and asked and started with the internal audit department, you know, and we said, trusted advisor, collaborating, being genuine, being responsive, you know, authentic, all of these words, a partner. And then as it went around the room, the message or the responses were quite different. It was misalignment. It was distrust. It was disappointment. And these words resonated. And it kept going. They didn't get into specifics, but those words alone matter on internal audit's lack of awareness of if something went awry to get to come to this point, and bring it back to Dr. Herman. And it's the misalignment, it's the trust, it's the lack of somewhere along the lines, the value. Was it too much on regulatory compliance audits? Was it not focusing on, was it focusing, going too deep in one operational audit and focusing on one leader? And he felt, or this particular leader felt, that his business unit was being overly scrutinized. I don't know. But it was the lack of reaching out behind closed doors and one-on-one and asking these, just, I think, as a friend, questions. What are you thinking? You know, this is our scope. This is this. Even though you've already done it, the kickoff meeting, the deliverables, the updates, people's perceptions change when they're talking to others.
So this was the word trust was written by the audit department, and it was what is your perception? Hey, rest of the organization relative to trust and internal audit.
That's right. So it was written by a board member, the audit committee member.
And then what was the change that resulted in that?
It was a slow erosion of trust, and it just went downhill. It was at that point, I think it was really unfortunate, because what had transpired to that point, I don't think could have been corrected. The solution may have, you know, there were little wins here and there, you know, system implementation. Yep, we nailed it. You know, doing investigations spot on, these little wins, but the overarching charter What's the mission for the year? What were the planned objectives? That was, I think, needed to be addressed again, and kind of like a kumbaya moment of everyone coming to the table and saying, hey, we just own up to what the group didn't do, and saying, hey, let's just do a restart.
So I love that trust story. And the first time you told me, I got chills to think about the perception that audit had and how that was being seen by the rest of the organization. But you also talked about this fraud story, and fraud obviously can be sensitive. So to the extent that you can, could you share that story with the audience?
Sure. So, as being an internal auditor, you tend to always dive into the details and want more details. And there some information is always, you want more of it. And sometimes I go and look for, if there's a product and see, oh, is this product on the internet?
Mm-hmm.
Is it being sold on the internet? It's on Craigslist or various places. And I looked on eBay and I saw a different permutation of it, not that specific model. Looked and found that model was actually in the, we'll call it the inventory, in the catalog. Opened up, made me say, as interlauders typically do, what if? What else could go wrong? How big is this? What is the impact? Because if it's one, what's the total, how many occurrences? And how long has this been happening? And sadly, it was a low dollar. And management decided that low dollar, oh, it's a one-off. We're okay. We need our resources allocated to something else. And personally, I don't think it's a dollar issue. I think it's a behavioral issue because, yeah, maybe today it's $100, $50, but tomorrow it could be a, we could now be talking about reputational risk, customer risk, and that could have a real impact on the top line. So I think it was a missed opportunity to show true value.
Yeah, I think some of those little ones that you talk about starts to not necessarily become the culture, but lend itself more that way. And so, yeah, and you likely should weed those out where you can. All right. The other topic that we had hit on was your risk assessment process. And so I wanted to let you hit on that a little bit because there's a lot of interest that we get from listeners on risk assessments and how do people do it and et cetera. And so, again, I'll just give you the floor and just kind of tell that story again or kind of walk us through your risk assessment process.
Sure. You know, taking a step back after like the collapse of SVB, I think we all kind of understood the importance or should have been the importance of having continuous monitoring of the risk assessment process. Because when interest rates did fluctuate, did increase, there was this huge exposure that SVB had in that hole. And going back, looking back upon it, it starts with the scoping and planning. Did internal audit go and get the company's objectives? Are they doing a self-risk assessment? Are they sending it out to the leaders across functional business units, up from the managers all the way up to get different perspectives on the risk? Do they risk, is there a risk analysis done? Do they have a risk methodology? Is there a risk universe? Are they assessing it based on impact and likelihood? And when they go and aggregate all these risks, is there any risks that are considered emerging risks, new risks? And if that, put that aside and say, okay, now we need to do a separate review and identify, are there controls in our current environment that address these, irrespective of any regulatory compliance or SOX or any of those kind of initiatives we need as an organization to have something in place. And then after all this, you prioritize the risk. It can be 1, 2, 3, high, medium, low. And once you've had this draft, we'll call it, in a heat map format or however you want it, that this deliverable, you should share it. You need to have it. You need to be transparent with the stakeholders, and then get their feedback. Make any tweaks that are you think appropriate. Share it internally with the internal audit group to get their perspective as well as the CAE. And then ultimately, it should flow all the way up to the board, because this is the foundation for the internal audit plan. For maybe if you're going to leverage, and you should leverage this for your SOX risk assessment, it should be 90% of your work, because you have the objectives, you have the risk, you have the controls, you're tying all of that through, and whether the controls are operating effectively. You have all of that there. And that really should be the plan. And then lastly, if any of these new emerging risks you identify, a control that is not operating effectively, well, then you should then at that very moment work with those process owners, control owners, all these people, and start with a risk mitigation plan before it becomes a problem.
Yeah. So, and you said continuous monitoring. So I'm sure there's some folks that think, well, we don't have a data analytics function to be able to do this continuous monitoring on a, you know, weekly basis or monthly or, you know, whatever it might be. But I think it's more of the takeaway is, don't set your annual audit plan and then just stick to it throughout the year. You should continuously update it in the sense of, you know, when we talk to management, what's going on, or the other factors that you would take into consideration there. Is that right?
That's right. So it can take two flavors, right? If you have a tools like Microsoft Power BI, yeah, of course you can do continuous. You can go that route. Or if you don't, then you can do refreshes on a quarterly basis. You can get the financials. It might be a lag, but that is much better than going off of annual numbers. And then you do the same thing. It could be more of a high level update everything, do a quick sniff test, send out maybe abbreviated questionnaires to six people, seven people of the high risk areas, medium risk areas, and say, has anything changed? Because things do change, and you want to be in front of it. You don't want to be behind the risk.
All right, so we hit on a couple of random topics to a degree. So trusted advisor, a fraud story, and a risk assessment. And so those are all the stories that we just ended up talking about, like I mentioned earlier when you and I were just talking, and then realized, hey, we should probably record this. So with that said, that's what I wanted to hear from you, and I wanted the audience to hear also. But is there anything else that you might want to leave the audience with?
Just maybe like two things. Internal audit is always talking about continuous monitoring, and how can internal audit take this from just being a discussion point to something that's actively being practiced to take risk monitoring to the next level? And I understand that there's constraints with dollars, you know, and resources, but there has to be a solution that will incrementally increase and make, because it ultimately we will be able to provide more value. And, you know, as the former governor of Rhode Island said, Lincoln Chafee, trust is built with consistency.
Hey, everyone. Thank you very much for listening to this episode of the Audit Podcast. Whatever platform you're listening on right now, I'm sure there's a subscribe button somewhere, so please hit the subscribe button there. If you're listening through iTunes or Spotify, feel free to go give us that 5-star rating. It only took me about 16 seconds to give myself a 5-star review, and it really helps to get future guests to come on the show, so we'd really appreciate that. Lastly, be sure to check out the show notes and follow us on all our social media channels on Instagram, on LinkedIn, and on TikTok. Also, if interested, please sign up for our weekly newsletter from the Audit Podcast. Thank you all. Have a great one.